go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 107 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the B-Balls Degenerate. Will you hold on just 1 second, please, all you viewers? Hey, Daisy, can you please get the B-Man an orange soda with 3 ice cubes and one of those twisty straws? My throat is a bit scratchy right now. Would like that very much. Okay, apologies for that. Let's get back into the episode 107. If you are watching this episode and you are a child from the 90s, you might recognize what I did right there with my licking my index finger and my pinky finger and combing my eyebrows. That is an homage to Zach Morris from Saved by the Bell. He used to do that. What a lovely hair he had. That's why I'm wearing this hat right now, because I don't have any hair and it's 25 degrees out. But we ain't going to talk about the weather, because this is Verbal Graffiti. And we ain't going to talk about Zach Morris. We're going to talk about funny. What does the B-Man want to discuss? I guess I should say I have been reading to you aloud The Salesman's Wife, probably the past 30 or 40 episodes, a couple of pages per episode if you make it to the end of the episode. This book, and again, we're all about consensual relationships here at Verbal Graffiti, but this book, this smut literature, brings up a certain dynamic that we're trying to do away with in current times, and that is the power dynamic in relationships. Power is something that a lot of the babes are attracted to sexually. They like the power dynamic. They get tingly between the legs for a man, a gentleman, a savage who has power. I'm noticing that in this novel, this smut literature novel that I'm reading to you. But I've been thinking a lot about that of late. Do not know why. I have a weird mind. It wanders, but this is where it's wandering to. It's this little island where the power dynamic and the sexual relations that causes. Now, in current times, we try to dissuade people from engaging in that type of relationship. If you work in a place with an HR department, you know very well that superiors are not, it's discouraged to have relations, sexual relations, with a entry-level employee, a salesperson, you know, anyone lower than them. That no-go, that will get you fired, that will get you excommunicated from society. But it does happen. I have this theory that 70% of high schools in America, there is a teacher that is having a sexual relationship with a student. Almost every work environment, there is a superior having sexual relations with an underling. And you look back, the B-Man, I look back. Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. She just sucked my wiener in the Oval Office and I stuck a cigar up her hoo-ha. The hotness of that interaction. They say what you will about Monica Lewinsky, say what you will about Bill Clinton using his position of power to convince Monica Lewinsky to engage in not sexual relations with that lady. But in that moment, that was probably, I guarantee you, of all the sexual engagements Monica Lewinsky has had in her lifetime, the hottest of them all was being in the Oval Office on her knees behind the desk with the President of the United States, Bill. I sing the saxophone Clinton. Like that, when she was on her knees in that blue dress, that was the peak of her sexual life. Now, whether it was appropriate or not, definitely was not. But you cannot disagree with me when I say that that was the peak of her sexual lifetime. Monica Lewinsky, that is being with Bill Clinton in the Oval Office while Bill Clinton was a president of the United States, the most powerful man in the world. Now, this is not what I have been thinking about. To be honest, I have not thought much about Monica Lewinsky in a long, long time. But there is an even more powerful dynamic relationship in our history. And I'm thinking about slave owners. again, we are pro-consent here at Verbal Graffiti, and we are abolitionists. We are anti-slavery. We are glad that everybody is free here in the United States. But yet, you know, there's this lady, and if you know your American history or just history in general, there's this lady, Sally Hemings, who had, she had six children that we know of with Thomas Jefferson. I believe while Thomas Jefferson was president, Sally Hemings was a slave of Thomas Jefferson. So while he was president, Thomas Jefferson, that is, he was having sexual relations with his slaves. Definitely one of them, Sally Hemings, because they had six children together. I think four of the six grew up and didn't die, you know, at an early age. And I do, if I'm not mistaken, I do believe Thomas Jefferson freed Sally Hemings, or at least the children or his offspring with her when they grew up at some point. So there has been this debate among historians and the B-Man from Verbal Graffiti whether or not the sexual relationship the two of them had, whether it was consensual or not. A lot of historians will say, no, absolutely not. It was not a consensual relationship. Look at her standing. She was a slave, Sally Heming. Thomas Jefferson was the president. You kind of had to do what he said back in the day. And we're definitely like, no, don't have sex with your slaves. But you gotta admit, if you're the slave that your owner decides to have sex with, there had to have been some of those slaves who ate that up and loved the fact like that. What's more powerful than a slave owner, right? Right? Is there any in the world, in the world's history, being a slave, your owner is the most powerful person in your lifetime. So for that owner to choose you out of all the slaves he owns, and I got to assume Thomas Jefferson probably had hundreds of slaves, and he chose Sally. If you're Sally, there's part of you that guy thinks, hey, I'm the baddest bitch on this plot of land. Like, he's got hundreds of servants, of slaves, and he chose me. He's got a wife who's the first lady, and he chose me. And I'm just saying, I'm choosing these two because those are two names that I actually know. But of all the slave owners and of all the slaves back in the South, you hate being a slave. It was despicable. It was subhuman. It's a terrible stain on our history. But, I can't believe I'm going here. Like, if you're the slave who the owner's choosing to have sex with, like, there had to have been some of those slaves like, dude, this is fucking hot. Like, he owns me. He's married. I'm having sex with him in his house. Like, this is nirvana of the power dynamic kink that some babes and guys have. So, you know, we'll never know. I got to assume that was not a consensual relationship there between Sally Heming and Thomas Jefferson. But there had to have been. There also, like, if we're going to have some truth serum, there had to have been some of those slaves who kind of got off having sex with her owner. again, we are anti-slave ownership here. We are pro-freedom, pro-consent. But, you gotta... Actually, you don't have to think about that at all. But to be a man, I do think about it because I do have a weird mind. I hope my employer does not see this opening. Okay, let's move along real quickly. All right, this one is a photo. Look at this one. 12 hours in, and I am crying and regretting this so much. So I went to get my eyebrows nano blades because I wanted natural. She did power. Sorry, powder. I hate them and I hate the darkness. I miss my shoddy eyebrows. I want them gone. I can see why. You look like a replica of George Costanza's uncle. Say hello to Frylock from Aqua Teen for me. That's when I see your eyebrows, those are the two people I think of first. And I gotta same thing with the slaves, slave owner and a slave dynamic. I gotta think that as a woman, you do not want your eyebrows looking like that. Like no babe has ever said in their lifetime has ever said, I want to look like George Costanza's uncle. That is not hot. You are not hot. The only thing you can do now is go full COVID crazy, start wearing the mask again, social distancing, because if anybody gets up close to you, they are going to be horrified. It's luckily I'm wearing a long sleeve shirt because I have goosebumps just looking at your eyebrows. Now, I will admit, the B-man, I am kind of, I am very ignorant when it comes to a female, a beauty, and products and procedures. I did not know what nano blading is, and I gotta suspect many of my viewers, our viewers here at Verbal Graffiti, do not know what nano blading is. Let me give you a quick synopsis. Nano blading is when you get your eyebrows tattooed so that they look more full and defined, so it has that sexy porn star look. You know, we've touched on this topic quite often here at Verbal Graffiti. I consider this to be cosmetic surgery. Now, if you're going to get a face tattoo, and nano blading is a face tattoo, you can't just go to your local tattoo parlor or nail salon and have just someone you've never met. You can't just see a sign on the window going, hey, we do nano blading, and then go in and get your eyebrows tattooed. You cannot do that. If I was going to get nano blading, and I do not because I have a fantastic, a sexy, a stunning eyebrows. I get complimented on them so often. But if I did, I would do thorough research. And that goes for any type of tattoo on my face. If I'm getting any type of procedure or tattoo on my face, I am going to do a master's degree, a research, dissertation-like research into finding a surgeon or a face person who does that kind of work. And I'm going to New York or I'm going to LA. I'm not doing it anywhere in the middle of the US. I'm going to the two places in the United States where all the beautiful people are located, aka where all the plastic surgeons and great tattoo artists we have are located. Or maybe Las Vegas as well. So Las Vegas, New York, LA, Miami, Dallas, all the high metropolitan areas. And I'm finding the best nano blader in the country. Because if you don't go to the best nano blader, you might end up like this scary twat right here. And that's not who you want to be. So do your due diligence. Go to the narcissistic capitals of the U.S., New York, L.A., that's where you want to get this work done. You cannot go get nanobladed by some biker wearing a jacket and who has a bunch of face tattoos who you've never had more than one conversation with. Or you end up like this bag here. Like, nobody Like, she had great sexual value, but now she's ugly. She basically looks like a gilf. She can do grandmother porn. She went from peak to gilf in a matter of one procedure right now. If you're getting your eyebrows nanoblated or tattooed or whatever the fuck you want to call it, you're too deep into TikTok. You're too deep into social media. The only people I can even fathom getting nanoblated would be people who just look at social media all day long. This lady probably has... See, her screen time is probably 10 hours per day. And of that 10 hours, 9 plus is scrolling through TikTok and Instagram and seeing so many women with all these face filters that she forgot what real human being actually looks like. Like, she's trying to look like that cartoon avatar, smooth skin filter that all you floozies use. Like, that, she's too deep in the internet, and she looked one look in the mirror and it shot her back, and now there's no going back. Like, the only way she's going to be able to have sex now is if she puts a tote bag over her head and does it doggy style, because nobody wants to do it even missionary style with eyebrows like that. So I hope you like it doggy style. This does make me question your motives. All right, if you're getting, like, I know you're complaining and you want to go back, but just going through with this procedure, getting your eyebrows tattooed, to me, that makes me question your morals. It makes me assume that you're a gold digger, that your goal in life is to be on some type of Bravo reality TV show. You're meant for the streets. You're not meant to be a wife, a homemaker, a trad wife, or whatever fucking term they're using these days. Yeah, you're definitely not the lady you bring home to meet your parents. But this just brings up a larger topic, and it's what's the terminology the B-man should use? What things can babes do to increase to enhance their beauty without me just assuming they're vapid and there's nothing between the head? Because there are a number of things that the babes can do to improve their looks that won't make me go, oh, that's a vapid twat that I want nothing to do with. And these are the procedures or the things you can do. They go as followed: getting a pedicure, a manicure, getting highlights in your hair, getting a fake tan, whether it's a spray tan or going to the tanning salon, getting any type of a hair procedure, like a hair wax, a hair laser removal, anal bleaching, and of course, breast augmentation implants. Cannot say that word. Also, one more thing. If you do this to your eyebrows, you get the nano blades, gotta admit, immediately, I'm curious as to what your pubic hair looks like, because if you're doing that with your eyebrows, the nanoblading, the craziness, the George Costanza's uncle, I gotta imagine you got very sharp lines going down there in the pubic area, and that's the only reason why I would say hello to you, because this, my curiosity would get the best of me, and not that I'd want to see it, but I do. If I could ever meet you, that would be one of the first questions I would ask you. Is it, what I see your eyebrows? What is going on with your pubes? Let's go look at some photos. I think I was a bit too wordy in that first segment, which I have a tendency to do sometimes, a lot of times. All I was trying to convey is that if I, the B-man, was a female slave during the 1700s in the United States of America, and my slave owner chose to have intercourse with me against my will rather than any of the other slaves on our land, that would give me a sense of bravado that would make me walk around that land actually thinking I'm the owner of this plantation. I'd be telling other slaves, hey, go get the bee man a glass of iced tea with 3 ice cubes, and I'm not even going to say thank you when you give it to me, because I am the owner of this land, not you. There is a sense of a power that's got to come with that, or maybe it doesn't. I don't, you know, the bee man, maybe a white guy with a bald head should not be talking about slaves having sex with their slave owners having sex with their slaves. Let's move on to something much more lighthearted. And what is something I'd like to talk about? Oh, Mount Everest. I think I may have mentioned this a few times before. I am not impressed with anybody who climbs up Mount Everest. If you have all the Sherpas going up and making the trails for you and putting out the ladders to walk over the ditches, you didn't do anything. You just walked up a gentle slope. There's something about reaching the top of Mount Everest that's always interests me, is that the climbers, if you want to call them that, I queasy a little bit when I call someone climbing up Mount Everest a climber. But when they get to the peak, the highest peak of all the world, they plant a flag. Now, you know from episode 106 at the B-Man, I believe that flags are primitive and that we should have moved past flags by this year, 2025. But you put all that work into getting to the top of Mount Everest, and all you put there is a flag or maybe a photo of a loved one who's dead, or your wife or your husband. You get to the very, the top of the entire Earth. You think you'd do something a little bit more playful, more fun than just a stupid little flag. Like, why has nobody built a snowman at the top of Mount Everest? And you get to the very peak, have some fun, make a big snowman so that when other climbers get to the top, they go, oh, wow, there's a snowman here. That would make it, like, if I was a climber, I would have so much more joy getting to the peak of Mount Everest and seeing a snowman. And go, who took the time to do this? Rather than the hundreds of stupid flags that are going to fly away in a few minutes anyway. So, yeah, I want to see snow angels, snowmen, snow ladies. Maybe put a little smut erotic literature at the top. A little reading material for when the other climbers get to the top. We need to have some more fun with Mount Everest. It's always doom and gloom. All dead bodies flying down the mountain, and nobody respects the climbers because they pay the Sherpas to do all the work. Hey, if we have snowmen and igloos and tunnels, and we have more fun with the snow, we'd be childlike with the snow on the top of Mount Everest. Maybe it'd make more people want to try that journey and try to get to the peak. I have no desire to go to the very top of Mount Everest. And I also do believe, the B-Man believes, if you climb Mount Everest and you use an oxygen tank, I don't count you as somebody who reached the peak because you cheated. You used assistance from oxygen. You got to do it without an oxygen tank. And then maybe I'd be willing to look you in the eyes, still would not shake your hand because you're not a climber. You got to find your own route to the very top, not the traffic jam that they always go up. All right, moving along. And this is going to be a fun one. Juicy. Comes from the subreddit, Ask an Escort. Should I help the regular I'm seeing get into college? I've been seeing a provider for about 2 years. We have a friendly, professional relationship. What I know about her real life is that she goes to community college with the hopes of getting into a professional program. Think a dental hygienist or firefighter. She recently told me she was rejected from the program for the second time. I have some influence in admissions and could probably get her in if she meets the requirements, but not guaranteed. In doing so, I would need her real name and other info. I would probably see her on campus occasionally with my real identity. Should I make the offer or just keep our current status quo? Some additional info. Thank you. I would not seek anything in return. Just help out a friend achieve her dream. I am not married, so no awkwardness with seeing her in a real life setting. I'm so disappointed in you. As Johns, like, we need to be better. We need to be more thoughtful. Let me ask you this. All right, as a John, do you have a kink where you want to lose your job without pay on the spot? Because that's where this is going to lead. Let's play this out, all right? This lady, this whore, and that's what she is. She is a whore. By the definition of the word, she is a whore. She's tried to get into this dental hygienist program twice. She's been rejected twice, which tells me, the B-man, it should tell all of you, the viewers and the listeners, that she is a lollipop. She's not the smartest lady. If she can't get into the community college program, that tells me, the B-man, that if you pull some strings behind the strings in admissions and get her admitted into the college, she's probably not going to get straight A's in this dental hygienist program. Even more so, she's probably going to fail a course or two. And what do you think she's going to do when she fails her dental class? She's going to go straight to the dean and tell the dean that, hey, I have a John who's paid me for sex numerous times, who works at this university. And you know what they're going to do to you? They are going to fire you on the spot. They're going to put you on leave without pay, and you're never going to get a job in education again, because she's going to rat you out to get herself ahead, and then it's going to leave you unemployed. And good luck getting employed in education when you have a sexual crime on your record. It's not going to happen. So what you have to do is not help your whore out at all. This is your problem. It is why I am so frustrated from one John to another. I'm more than frustrated. I am disappointed in you. You have blurred the lines, and you cannot do that. You got to understand. All right, say this with me. Pay for the nut and then leave. Let me say this again as a John to another John. Pay for your nut and then leave ASAP, because this is what you do not want to do. You do not want to get your nut and then do the pillow talk and have conversations and talk about the dreams. And then you find out that, oh, she has an actual personality and feelings and wants to become a dental hygienist. And before you know it, you actually care about her. You're blurring those lines. If you want to talk to somebody, pay a therapist. You're paying to fuck. She is a whore and you are a John. You cannot blur those lines. And that is where you're going to find yourself in trouble. You're going to find yourself unemployed without the funds needed to buy a whore. You are not going to be able to buy her again because you're going to help her out. The fact that you're even thinking about it, you're thinking about helping this whore out, it makes me want to turn my back to you as a John. You're such a besmirch. You're such a smudge. You're like the gum on the bottom of the shoe to all of us Johns. What you're doing here is you've convinced yourself that this lady is more than a whore. Just by calling her a provider. She's been a provider for 2 years. No, she has not. She has been a whore for the last 2 years. The fact that you call her a provider tells me that you have way too much respect for her. Now, all you're going to come at me and say, oh, she's a sex worker. We got to respect everybody. They deserve the same amount of money and respect and all that of everybody else in the world. I respect her, right? I respect what she does. I'm not judging who she is, but we got to call a spade. She is a whore. She is selling her pussy for money. That makes her a whore, a hooker, a prostitute, a floozy, right? She's not a provider. She's a lady of the night. She's a whore, but I will be consistent, right? I'm not a sexist. I'm a misogynist, but I am not a sexist. She is a whore, and you are a John. You are not a guy to her. The problem is, right, she's a whore. Like she is having sex with other Johns, but you are not having sex with other whores. So you actually have feelings for her. What you got to do is go out and have sex with other whores. Because even if you do help her, right, you help this whore get into your college that you work at, and she becomes a dental hygienist. Then what? Then what? Then you're out of a whore, right? She's getting paid. She has a job now where she has to pay taxes. So what you've done is you facilitated a move where you lose a whore, and then she's given to the IRS. Like, from one John to another, I'm disappointed in you. You should know better than that. If you've gotten so mesmerized with her pussy that you're actually trying to help lose her to the IRS. What the fuck is wrong with you? This is what you need to do. Next time you're with this whore and she starts talking about her dreams of being a dental hygienist, you gotta backslap. You're not slap, but you gotta give her a verbal, I never hit a woman, even if she is a whore. Just give her a verbal backhand with words going, and give her a simple Econ 101 lesson. You tell her, hey, as a whore, you make 10 times as much money and it's tax-free than you would as a dental hygienist. So why would you want to go to college and go in debt hundreds of thousands of dollars to wipe the tartar off of patients who don't even bother to brush their teeth twice a day? Like, get your head in the game and continue being a whore. That's what you got to do. The fact that you're even pondering this, that you're even thinking about helping her out, is going to leave you destitute. Now, what's she going to do? Because she's going to become a dental hygienist. She's going to blow the dentist. The dentist is going to leave his wife. The whore is going to marry the dentist. And then you're out a whore. The dentist's wife is out on the street. Everyone makes out but you in this situation, if you help her out. This is the problem in 2025, is that we want to call everybody a sex worker. And it's fine. You're a sex worker, but she's also a whore. But the problem is, there's got to be a bit of... nobody ever talks about the John. Right? The John... You're paying for sex, right? You're giving her money for her service, but you're still a John. You're in the gutter of society. You're both in the gutter of society. And as a society, we've raised the sex worker to eye to eye. They should be respected by everyone. But the John is still down here. Now, the problem isn't that the sex workers moved up. The problem is not that the John hasn't moved up. It's good that the John is still in the gutter, but the sex worker should also stay in the gutter. The only difference in 2025 is that we shouldn't step over the two of them, right? The sex worker or the John. Now, we should all look down at them, right? Because let's be honest, nobody wants their daughter to be a sex worker. And if you do, you're a Looney Tune. And we should look, and nobody wants their son to have to pay a hooker for sex. And again, if you do, you're a Looney Tune. But we all in society should look down on them, maybe even judge them, maybe not. But they're down there, right? They're in the gutter, right? Their work is not up here. It's tax-free. Again, all I can say, let me just reiterate, keep those lines defined. She's a hooker. You are a John. Keep it that way. If you help her, you're out of a hooker. She's been a hooker for you for 2 years. If you help her out, if you just let it be, let this lollipop keep failing out of all programs that she applies to, you could have a whore. The same whore that you like for the next decade. But you're going to fuck it up, and you're going to fuck it up for all us Johns. That's a good whore right there. That's a whore who has the brain of a lollipop. That's the type of whore you want to pay her services for. So my last bit of advice for you is to stop thinking with your brain and start thinking with your head. Your head will lead you to good places. Fucking despicable, John, you are. All right, let's continue reading The Salesman's Wife by John Lawrence. We are. What are we? We're pretty fucking far ahead. All right, we are about midway through page 83. We will read two pages together aloud, if you are reading along. In the next room, Mavis, the doctor's sultry wife, was seated naked on a chair, peering through the concealed peephole that gave her a complete view of the degenerate act in the next room. She was inserted in a phallic-shaped vibrator into her pussy, and for the last several minutes, she had been watching the lurid scene intently, arousing herself shamelessly. She loved to watch her husband at work, especially during the fantasy sessions, for the costumed debauchery excited her as much as it did him, even watching it from a distance. While she watched intently, she shoved the vibrating instrument in and out of her wet, trembling cunt with rising urgency. She could tell that the other two were nearing their climax, and she roughly drove the mechanical tool deeply in and out of her vaginal sheath, forcing herself into a frenzy of excitement to match theirs. "Oh, suck his cock, you little bitch," she moaned quietly as her body quivered with delight and her cuntal walls expanded and contracted against a smooth, hard device. "Suck his cock good." Her admiration for her husband swelled as she watched, masturbating with the electric penis, and she drove herself into a maelstrom of pleasure. In the white room, Pamela was trembling with ecstasy. She was lost now, completely beyond the reach of her conscience. She was sucking, slavering madwoman, a slave captive anxious to pleasure her muscular, domineering master. It was a childhood dream come true. As Carlsberg's cruel strokes came faster and faster, so did her sucking become more hungry and devouring. All she wanted to do was suck his cock, and it felt so good, so good. Carlsberg felt a surging heat gush through his throbbing balls as his hot semen began to wind its way through the achingly inflated sacks. He was going to come soon. He redoubled his torrid fucking, brutally slamming his cock into Pamela's eager mouth. Go suck a fat one.